cynical. But I know no matter what the waitress brings, I should drink it and always be full. Yeah, I will drink it and always be full.
Hello and welcome to Jaded. This is Jody. Today is May 16th. Beautiful looking Tuesday so far. Not a cloud in the sky. It's been a while. Had a friend tell me recently that he doesn't listen to my podcast because it makes him sad. So, my entire intent today is to record something not sad. Haha, go figure. However, life has been quite the adventure. And not a positive one. Definitely something that I need to discuss more. In fact, things were going quite well in my life. Sober for 3 weeks. Watched someone I cared about very much go through a crazy episode trying to detox and withdrawal. And alongside him, 3 weeks. 3 weeks was how long I made it. And then the crazy came out. And I just gotta say, every woman you've ever met, every woman you'll ever meet, has the capability to go crazy. Some of us, like me, find out we do it on a fairly regular basis. And pretty frightening event this last week. My significant other, having been sober for 3 weeks and having an awkward 21 days of getting to know each other on a sober level, he needed to return back to his abide where he's trying to rent out his room so that he can get away from his abide. And of course, all that goes up in my head are major, major red flags. First of all, there's nobody there. If he freaks out again, or if things get weird, who's there to look out for him? I certainly am not, and I'm not saying that I could save or rescue him, but having gone through the experience of him coming down, which was quite horrific, I do at least feel, you know, like I've got a little experience under my belt, and knowing how much I love and care about him, I definitely feel that's an advantage over anyone else that may have been in his presence. So was very difficult for me. That morning I woke up, just did not feel right. Stomach was in knots, couldn't tell if I'd gotten a bug. Couldn't tell if maybe it was just, you know, that time of the month. It was that kind of pain that just makes you want to curl up into a ball and throw the covers over your head and let the day go by without you. So that was what I attempted to do. Had to call in from work. Just did not feel right. So my significant other gets up, gets ready, gets dressed, heads out to his destination. And I curl up in a ball and immediately go to sleep. Most of the day, just lounged around, tried to sleep as much as I could because I just could not get that pit out of my stomach. About 4 o'clock, I get up, feel like I've slept away enough to the day, and not really knowing what's going on, figure he could be home soon. So I might as well look like I'm a functional human being and get up out of bed, get dressed. Had a task for the day. My task was to hang up my drapes. Upon moving into my parents' house, my mother was in the middle of remodeling the room that I currently reside in and had paint and decorations to the hilt. And the one thing she didn't get a chance to get to were the drapes. She had purchased them. She had purchased the inside shades, outside shades, most of the holders, but had not bought the main bar that goes across. So, me, having grown up with MacGyver and very much feeling that I can kind of fix just about anything I come across that's broken, I feel I'm pretty handy. And so I found a substitute bar, which turned out to be an old shower curtain bar. and needless to say, did not look great. The curtain covered most of it, but on the ends you could clearly tell that they were stripped ends of a shower curtain rod. So I purchased a new rod, which looked much better, even matched the tone of oil brushed, or oil, no, what is it? ORB, oil rubbed bronze, that's what it is, oil rubbed bronze. Boy, that took a minute to get out of me today. Might be an indication that today might be a bit of a climb for me, shall we say. And either way, had bought in the bar, figured I would go ahead and put up this new addition to the room, and maybe by the time my significant other got home, I had cleaned the room, did a couple things, and last thing I recall is laying back down to sleep. I thought, best way to deal with the anxiety I'm feeling over worrying about whether or not he's going to break, I'm just going to sleep and let, you know, the universe do what it's going to. And that is the last that I recall. About 9:30 that evening, I got up. And honestly, it could have been later. I'll explain in a minute. But woke up, realized he still wasn't back. And with a little bit of apprehension, I left my room, went downstairs, and asked my mother if she'd seen him. Had he been here? Did he come and have to go back for some reason? And the look on my mother's face was that of just pure disbelief. I could almost literally feel her jaw drop to the floor when I asked her that. So not getting a reply, I asked again, and she looked at me and said, "Jody, you asked him to leave." Now at first I thought, you know, Mom, this isn't funny. I've been waiting all day for him. I've been anxious and worried, concerned, but trying not to be. And now you're going to tell me he was already here? And she says, "Jody, he was here at least an hour. And the last I saw of him, he came downstairs with all of his belongings and said that you had insisted he leave." Again, I thought, "Mom, like, come on. Did he call or something? Do you know something I don't?" And that's when I saw a pure look of worry and concern cross my mother's face. And she says, "Jody, he was here. You spoke to him for quite a while in your room, and he left because you were bound and determined that he not be here anymore." And at that point, I broke. I became a bit hysterical, insistent that she was lying. Why was she doing this? This wasn't a funny joke. I'd been waiting all day for him. I couldn't wait to see him. Where was he? And she continued to look more and more concerned and to insist that he had been there and it was because of me that he was not going to return. I lost my shit. It felt pretend. It felt made up. Most certainly did not feel real. And at that point, I began to seriously flip out and insist that he hadn't been home. I hadn't sent him away. I loved him. All I wanted to do was see him in front of me again, be able to touch him, kiss him, hold him, and know that he was okay. And she just said, "No, Jody, no, you told him not to be here." And I grew angry and insistent. And at some point, she felt threatened. She felt concerned that maybe I was off the deep end. And not knowing what else to do, I suppose, she contacted the police department. That, of course, incensed me even more. Because why would she do such a thing? I was fine. I just needed him. I needed him to be home and everything would be better. And from what I'm told, by the time the police showed up, I was raving like a lunatic. I was threatening suicide, telling everyone I was going to shoot myself with a gun. which I do not own, I am afraid of, I would never possess nor pick up. And so the entire story to me just did not sit right. How could I banish him from my life when I so desperately wanted him there? And the police were trying to ration with me. Rationalize? I'm not sure which word that should be, but trying to make me see sense. And I just insisted that they were all crazy and began doing what I do best, fighting and arguing and insisting that they were wrong, that I was right. And all my fighting did was cause me to be escorted, if you can even say that, no feet on the ground, hauled out to a police car and taken to the nearest hospital, where I continued to fight and insist that this was crazy. What were they doing? How could this be? And next thing I know, I am fully strapped down to a stretcher. I've got a IV line shoved in my arm. I can feel the throbbing and the pain. No more am I big on guns. I'm most definitely not big on needles. And I was scared out of my fucking mind. I had no idea what had gone on, why any of this was happening. The pit in my stomach had grown to almost like a live living cancer that I could feel eating away at all of the goodness and hope that I had carried. I don't know if they put something in the IV or if I just exhausted myself, but I was awakened by an attendant telling me that I had a phone call. And it was my possibly now late or ex-significant other. And he was in tears. He was a wreck, a complete mess. He was scared. He had heard me being suicidal. He was nervous and worried that I had actually acted upon those threats that I do not recall making. I've never heard him cry. Drunken longing and tears are a little bit different than what I heard over the phone, which was a broken soul. My man was so torn apart and lost and at his wit's end that it frightened me even more. And as I tried to reassure him that I was fine, I was desperately trying to get him to tell me he was okay. And all at the same time, I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Several hours go by. I get assessed by a mental health professional, and I get discharged. And I still cannot recall where the hell those hours of my life went and what the fuck happened. The weekend was crazy. I had made plans all through the weekend, Mother's Day weekend. I have four kids, all in the state now. Made plans to go see the Rockies game. Made reservations downtown at one of our favorite restaurants. And all were to include who I had hoped was going to be someone permanent in my life. And now he was gone, all due to actions and times that I do not recall, that I still feel are like made up happenings that I really was not a part of. So going to the Rockies game without him was a struggle. Going to dinner was one of the happiest days of my life. All four of my kids, they're getting along perfect, all looking good, healthy, happy. having a good time, and yet my heart is the deepest, darkest black hole that I have ever felt. I was there, but yet it felt more like I was observing myself there and not actually there experiencing it. More that I was an onlooker observing what was happening. It was the most discombobulated I can recall ever feeling. But wonderful at the same time. And fortunately for me, Mondays are my appointments with my therapist. And I was very anxious and eager to have time with her to discuss. And in my session, while talking, I realized there have been other times with an ex-loved one that I was informed by him on more than one occasion the day after, when I wake up and find him not in my bed, most of his belongings gone, that I had kicked him out at some point in the evening. Very angrily, very insistently, had him remove himself and his belongings from my home. So in my session, as I'm discussing this, it worried me, but it didn't make sense. My previous relationship, we were both drunks. He was violent when he would drink. Of course, that tendency goes up. So the fear that I felt in that situation, I could understand at some point becoming too much for me in my drunken state, and me feeling the best way to protect myself would be to get him to go. But there has not been even one time, not for a sliver of a second, that I have ever felt alone in the presence of the one that I recently kicked out. I felt the safest with him that I've ever felt with any man I've ever been with. And for me, that's huge. So I didn't understand why I could have a complete blackout where I exiled him from my life, banished him from what we'd built, and written off all the time, love, and building we'd done. And explaining this to my therapist, her response, it should never surprise me, the woman's brilliant, but she explained it as this, that it is very possible that at some point in my life, most likely in my early years, childhood, at an age before I had true cognitive understanding of myself, my universe, my existence, and I had felt either afraid, let down, heartbroken, in some way traumatized to the point where my brain had taken on a role of protecting me from that type of trauma ever happening again. And throughout my life, there were probably several times where I was triggered into feeling that same emotion, that fear, that insecurity, that powerlessness that triggered my brain to basically take over for me on a cognitive level and do what it felt needed to be done in order to protect me. So something between our conversation, either something he said, something he did, or just something that transpired that clicked in my head as, oh shit, here comes the pain, and in sweeps my flight or flight response, which we all need, which we all know is important, but that switched on to protect me from any more trauma.